BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Hello, here is Tuesday's podcast, including Fat Tuesday with Charlie Slough, an update on the train situation with James, who fancies a girl on his commute. Did his pretending to be a sleep trick work? And innuendo bingo's a wet one with the voice of the X Factor.
Scott Mills,
BBC Radio 1.
This track is really bad if you're listening in your car when all that traffic noise comes on. Kendrick Lamar, I. Scott Mills here, coming up. Yes, it's FT, Fat Tuesday.
Yes.
Charlie Slough at 3:40 playing Real or No Real. We'll also get an update from, do you remember the guy yesterday we spoke to on the train, James, who's been fancying this girl on his commute to and from work every single day, but he's not actually had the courage to go up to her and say, hey, maybe take you out for a drink sometime. So we've kind of waded in now. He thinks he's left it too long, and he came up with the idea of maybe pretending to be asleep on the train on his commute home yesterday, because she's always on the same train, to see if she wakes him up, and then a conversation can start. So we will speak to him this afternoon at 2:40.
Do you know what? I really like it's turning into a soap opera.
At 2:40.
BBC Radio 1.
Can't wait to find out what happened and if she actually woke him up.
Is this the new Neighbours? Like, it kind of fills that gap, doesn't it?
Can be. Also today, we've got, there's loads going on, Innuendo Bingo at 1:45. This music's making me on edge. Innuendo Bingo with the voice of X Factor. Actual Peter Dixon's going to be here at 1:45.
Is he really loud in real life? Is it?
Yeah.
Didn't you tell me once that you went for a curry with him?
Actual fact.
It's the most epic curry order you could ever have.
Yeah, it was in Cardiff. It was actually after we'd done a thing called Barioki years ago on Radio 1, where we did a thing...
Explain this one.
Yeah, okay, so it was karaoke sang by people called Barry. Seemed like a really good idea at the time. And we did it live from Barry Island. He was our live voiceover on the day, and then we went for a curry in Cardiff. And you could see people as he was making his order, because he's got a very... I mean, his voice can go far. People looking around because they heard his voice and they knew it off X Factor. And he's going, I'll have a chicken korma, please, love.
It's not subtle, is it?
A pillow rice. And obviously people don't know what he looks like, so they're like, I recognise the voice, but why is it coming from that man?
I really want to hear him just shout foods, because I always hear X Factor contestant names. I'd rather hear foods and
okay.
Other words.
He can do that for you. He can do it all. So 1:45 today, watch the X Factor voiceover man get very wet on Innuendo Bingo. It'll be on the Radio 1 website.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So many people want to know about the guy on the train, James. Craig in Hitchin says, I was in the pub last night, could not stop thinking about that lad on the train and how his commute was going. How will it all end? It's the best radio soap opera ever. Maybe it needs a music theme. Yeah, not quite yet, I don't think.
No. That's a lovely idea, that. Mm. Get a theme tune on it.
David in Glasgow says, can we just skip to the good bit today and get right into hearing about the guy on the train? All right, it's going to be 2:40 he's going to be on, and tell us what happened when he pretended to be asleep last night. Did the girl that he likes wake him up?
The Scott Mills Daily.
So many people asking about the train guy. You're going to have to wait till 2:40 because we've got Innuendo Bingo coming up with the voice of the X Factor.
I like that people think that you should be more efficient, as in the first half hour of the show, just get everything done. Innuendo Bingo and the train.
Can we just get all the rubbish out of the way and get straight to the train guy? That's what people are saying. So Peter Dixon is the name of the guy on the X Factor. He's the one with the big voice. I've known him to break microphones.
Wow.
Just by using his voice.
Do we think that he'll be particularly good at Innuendo Bingo then, just because he can take on a lot of water, like a camel?
Well, if you think about that voice, I mean, I reckon he's going to be like a cannon.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon he's going to be a surprisingly good sprayer.
Has he got an annoying laugh? I imagine when he laughs, it's really loud.
But what does he do the rest of the year? I'll tell you what, lots of voiceovers. He's coming up at 1:45, and you can watch it on the Radio 1 website. If you've ever thought to yourself, yeah, I hear that guy every weekend on X Factor going, live from London, but I'd really want to know what he looks like.
No, but do you? I mean, that's the thing. Like,
I know.
You build up an image in your head. In fact, I'd be interested if people have time. Quick drawing of what you think he looks like and we'll match it up to the real thing. He's in 10 minutes, so be quick.
Tweet at BBCR1 and then you can see him on the website at 1:45. This is going to be epic.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I am now about to introduce you to one of the most famous voices in the UK. It's Peter Dixon off The X Factor. Hello.
Hello.
Amazing.
That Hello. Was a very lame intro, if I may say so.
What do you want?
Oh, well, where's the orchestra? Where's the timpani drums?
You should do your own intro, perhaps.
I should.
Yeah. Do you want to do your own?
Yes.
Okay, go on then.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome voiceover man, it's Peter Dixon!
Yes. That's so good. Now, are you aware of Innuendo Bingo, voiceover man?
Well, listen, I invented innuendo many years
that
ago.
That is true.
And he so loves... I am no stranger to the genre.
So, X Factor's off for another year.
Yes, as my wife said to me on Sunday, she said, thank God that's over. And, you know, I almost agreed with her.
Yeah.
It's a huge pantomime of a show, isn't it?
And it
11
is.
Years of it, you know. I keep thinking, they've had enough.
No, they love it.
But no they one, love no, it. No they one, love it.
No one they do. Can,
no one can provide a voice like that, you know? Who was your favourite name to say this series?
This series? You know what? I've forgotten their names already. I'm sorry, love, but that's just showbiz. Get used to it!
Ben Haynow, he was...
Oh, Haynow was
yeah, he's the winner, so, yeah. Just say that one.
Yeah, okay, Ben.
Go on.
Ben Haynow!
You have actually broken microphones before, haven't you?
I have. I've broken several very expensive microphones, much to Simon Cowell's disgust.
Yeah.
But I don't really care because, you know, he's got plenty of money and he can buy another one.
It's really weird, this, because I just want to hear you shout things. Scott said this story about how you went for a curry once. And
I went for a curry once with Scott Mills.
That did happen.
In a restaurant in Cardiff.
Yeah. True.
Would you mind shouting out a couple of these? Look, this is a menu for a curry.
Okay,
house.
Right. So normally this. Why do you want this? Normally this would cost you a lot of money.
Would
it? Yeah.
Should we start?
I mean, this is sorry for the freebies.
If you
I'm
just
so
go
sorry.
For a couple of mains here.
Go on then.
Okay.
I don't know why he wants
let's
this.
Let's go for a starter.
Okay, go on. Okay.
Crisp patties stuffed with vegetables and deep fried, served with salad.
See? Just makes everything...
Which main would you like?
Yeah.
Let's go for that one. See?
You've ordered a chicken dansack. That's chicken cooked with lentils in a fairly hot sweet and sour sauce. Nice.
Sorry, I know this is weird, but it's...
Stupid.
What about special? One special.
Come on, Chris. Okay, one more.
One special.
Is this actually going out on the air?
I think this is on the radio.
Just the title. Don't worry about the ingredients.
Special mixed tandoori tawa.
this is what's in my head when I'm excited on a Saturday night.
I know.
Ordering in a curry.
But you and I should go out and have a curry.
Oh, my
Can you imagine?
Word.
And you could just shout all the dishes for him. It'd make that food just much
We'd
more exciting.
We'd have so much ordered, we wouldn't know what to do with half of it.
Right, okay. In a minute, voiceover man off X Factor, Peter Dixon, is going to play Innuendo Bingo. So assume positions, lads.
The Scott Mills Daily.
It's time to witness the witness. This is Innuendo Bingo.
Is that better?
Wow.
Yeah. Where did you get him from?
Nothing to worry about. Okay, so if you want to go online right now, the cameras are on at bbc.co.uk/radio1. Hello. You're about to listen to and watch, hopefully. Watching is always better. Innuendo Bingo with X Factor voiceover man Peter Dixon. So, Peter, you've seen the videos before. You know what happens.
Yes, I do. I'm fully prepared.
Okay, have you bought a change?
I don't have a change of clothes.
You don't.
I say I'm fully prepared, but I don't have a change of clothes.
Yeah. Okay, right.
So if you see a wet man on the train later on, it's me.
Okay, right, so...
What am I doing here?
I know, sorry about this. Okay, so, Chris, are you ready? I'm ready, but I'm wearing a jumper which is far too small for me.
That is a very tight fitter,
it's
isn't it?
Really tight. I apologise.
It's also got electricity running through it, which maybe isn't the best of ideas you've had today.
It's not mine.
It's a Christmas jumper.
Yeah.
And it's, we found it by Fern Cotton's desk. So it could, I think it's Fern's.
Could be hers, yeah.
Yeah.
But she borrows my clothes, so it's all fine.
As if she does. Still her style. Okay, right, so... beware, Peter, the water is cold at first. You need to put a lot in there, if that's okay.
I was all right. I'm quite used to this.
Yeah, I know. Okay, even more, maybe. Fill your cheeks. Use his face, not the bin. Those are the rules. First, we go over to another famous voice. It's the voice of football on the BBC, John Motson, on Match of the Day from last week. I think this potentially could be a wet one. And here, John seems to somehow know every thought going through Rob Green's mind.
Marnie in quickly, forward by Shackle. There goes Ings. Rob Green thought about coming there and then backpedalled.
Just a small spurt to start us off. You know, it is, sometimes you think about it and then you backpedal.
Rob Green thought about coming there and then backpedalled.
Rob Green is the goalkeeper. He was thinking of coming forward. Thanks, Jack, for that one. Oh, no. Are you okay there? He's choking.
Feel free to refill if it's got a bit gross in there.
Now we are over to this week's University Challenge on In Your Bingo. Now that show is very highbrow. Very highbrow. You wouldn't... Oh, God, I'm choking. You can't kill X Factor Man. Now, you wouldn't catch anyone on that show on University Challenge laughing at the contestant's name. On this show, however... Let's see what happens.
No, I'm afraid you lose 5 points. Collapsed in 1995 after unmonitored loss-making speculation by the futures dealer Nick Leeson.
Liverpool Hiscock.
Oh, in one!
Oh, wow, that's that was wet, wasn't it? Oh, wow.
Well done, sir.
There we are.
That's a good one.
Thank you, Dan, in Tunbridge Wells, for spotting that name on University Challenge.
Liverpool Hiscock.
Okay. Right, let's move on. Water, please. Oh, sorry, Peter, you've got it already. Come on, Chris.
Sorry.
Fill it up. A classic from the snooker now, earlier in the year. And here's commentator Steve Davis, whose attention seems to have wandered away from the table, just for a split second.
It's a shot we're going to see an awful lot in the next 2 weeks, and you won't see a nicer split than that.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, now, on that one, Chris got absolutely soaked. Just had to, like, sit there and take it.
And you won't see a nicer split than that.
Thank you, Steve.
I didn't quite get that one at first, sorry.
Oh. OK, now we're going over to Friday's Gogglebox on In Your Bingo. And Kate and Graham are discussing a very important issue. And I suppose if you were a loyal husband, this question would kind of play on your mind.
In Nottinghamshire...
Have you ever kissed the bishop's ring?
I've never kissed the bishop's ring.
Water, please. Just a small trickle there. Tell you what, though, they would not let the issue lie.
Is that a true thing? Is that just old-fashioned?
No, you can kiss the bishop's ring. It's a sign of respect in his office.
Yeah, but, like, is it a thing?
No. People still kiss the bishop's ring.
Chris, yeah. Chris, what's up today? What?
I think I think Fern's jumper is restricting me a tiny bit.
How is it really? What are you worried about?
Right. No, it's fine.
Okay.
Ready? Yep. Crack on.
Okay, let's do this.
Come on.
This is more difficult than it looks, listeners.
It is, isn't it? So many of you emailed that one in.
People still kiss the bishop's ring.
Now we're going back over to University Challenge. And I wonder who's going to answer this question.
And finally, the title character of this opera by another Italian composer.
Chris. Oh,
Yes, you let it all flood out as Nessun Dorma came on. He hasn't even answered the question.
What's going?
Okay, let's try and get this through this one, everyone. Come on.
Liverpool.
Poor Peter.
I know exactly what's going to say.
Okay, right, so with that in your mind...
Ignore the music.
Just ignore the music. Here we go.
And finally, the title character of this opera by another Italian composer.
Chris! Come on. You know what's going to happen. Here we go. One more time.
And finally, the title character of this opera by another Italian composer.
Nominate Hitchcock.
Oh,
help!
Peter, I'm so sorry.
Nominate Hitchcock.
There we are. Nominate who you want. Okay. Vanessa in Edinburgh is loving this. Joanne in Whitley Bay is watching on her phone. Yeah, you can watch this on your phone on the Reading World website. Okay. Another clip, new clip now from Simon Mayo over on BBC Radio 2, if you could refill, please. And once again, on Confessions, a wholesome and heartwarming story takes a sour turn.
Looking at the end of my euphonium, I thought it would be fun to roll the dobber up and down the tubing to make a funny noise. To my horror, the ball bearing slid quickly down the bell and came to a resounding stop.
Oh, God.
There we are.
Is there much more of this?
There's a few, yeah. Okay, and now we've got a classic from Collectaholics.
A classic.
A classic.
From Collectaholics.
And here, Mel from Mel and Sue gives a quick reminder of the unresolved question that's playing on the minds of absolutely every single person watching the show.
But will a valuation convince Stuart to sell?
And will I get that pork pie in the buffet?
I've forgotten that one.
Oh, yes, the old pork pie in the buffet.
You know Mel, she loves it.
And will I get that pork pie in the buffet?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so...
I've seen her buffet as well.
Yeah, oh, okay. And now a slightly left-field one from Countryfile, spotted by our listener Big Al in Leeds. He says he thinks I'll especially appreciate it. So it's Ben Fogle reporting here. The man who Ben's meeting has been involved in this rural pursuit for 40-odd years. I've got no idea what it is, but the name of it makes me very keen to find out more. Are we ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's now a professional fly fishing instructor with 40 years of game angling experience.
Almost. Game angling there, of course. Sounds good.
40 years of game angling experience.
And finally, over to Love Your Garden with Alan Titchmarsh. And as we join Alan on the show, he's installing two spherical fountains, but they're not working.
I mean, look, it's not fair, is it? You just go away for a bit, and I'll have a fiddle. And when you come back, I'll have three balls.
Alan Titchmarsh there, everyone. Wow.
Oh, my word.
And when you come back, I'll have three balls.
Thank you, Alan. That was an incredible one. Thank you very much to Peter Dixon. Voiceover man.
Get in!
That was great.
Get in.
Get in. And we'll put a video on the Radio 1 website for you later on the Radio 1 YouTube channel as well.
Liverpool Hiscock.
Thank you very much, voiceover man. A pleasure.
Thank you.
It was fabulous.
Thank you so much. The Scott
Mills Daily. Can I just ask, what is this on my Twitter, please?
Yes, I've just seen this, so this has come through. This is good. This is your Christmas present at the moment. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, I noticed earlier on Twitter you were asking people, what can I get Mills for Christmas because I've got to buy him a good present. You shouldn't be asking for people's advice on Twitter on what to get me. You should know.
The problem is, I think it's very easy to find something funny to get you, or inappropriate, or rude.
Yeah, but you always do novelty, but this year I've got you an actual good gift, so good luck with that.
That's what you've said to me, so I'm now having to think what I can get, but you're really hard to buy for.
I'm
think
not, though.
Think about it. No, celebrity.
You don't think about it. Like, as Fern said yesterday, it's easy to think of what to get me.
It's not, though,
because
if I got you...
You just don't think.
Right, because I know you'd like candles.
right? Yeah.
Now, if I got you a candle, that would be really boring.
No, I would like that.
Would you?
Yeah, you're overthinking it too much.
Okay. But anyway...
What is this, then?
So this is good. This is a video. I applied for this a while ago, right? And I think I've been bumped up the list because Radio 1, maybe.
Okay.
But it's the band Codaline,
yes,
singing you a personalised message.
Which, well, I can see they've tweeted, "Hi Chris Stark, we hope Scott Mills enjoys his Coda Vine."
Yes.
Coda Vine, it's a vine, yeah, 6 seconds.
Yeah, you know, but what a vine is, kind of loops.
But it seems to be a picture of me and my crab outfit off of Strictly.
Yes, but the beauty comes, if you turn up the volume on this, you'll... And okay. I think this is your Christmas present for now, until Scott we find something else.
Mills, have a crabby Christmas, Scott Mills.
Oh, it's Codaline singing it.
Yes.
Have a crabby Christmas.
Have a crabby Christmas. See?
Is this just on a loop?
It just goes on a loop like this.
So it's only 6 seconds.
Have a crabby Christmas.
Yeah, that's good.
So this is good. So basically, Codaline are doing a load of these messages, like festive messages, around this time. Right now, like, it's going on for a couple of hours.
What, now?
Yeah, so I thought I would get you one done for Christmas. And
thanks,
for now,
mate.
Would this do as a Christmas present?
Have a crabby Christmas.
Still going, isn't it?
It will go on. It's a vine. It's looped, Mills.
Thanks, Codaline.
No, thank me. Because
sorry,
I've got
thanks,
that for
Chris.
You.
Thanks, the band as well. No,
so
it's
is that
great.
Christmas done?
No.
No?
I like it, but I think you're going to actually have to buy me something as well.
Really?
But
because
thanks for the
that's
vine.
Codaline singing to
I
you.
I know, I mean, it's pretty huge.
I thought as a famous, you'd love that.
Okay, well, let's say that for now until you think of something else.
The Scott Mills.
Hey
Daily.
There, listen.
Enter Shikari. Chris is a big fan of that.
I love that.
The Last Garrison on BBC Radio 1. Okay, Train Guy is coming up. Naomi in Hertfordshire's been on. Oh, God, have I missed the update on the dilemma for the guy on the train? Did he get the girl? Please let me know or I won't be able to sleep tonight. There's loads of people saying they won't be able to sleep tonight if they don't find out. It's our new soap. It could be the new Lisa and Steve.
Oh, do you know what?
Maybe... Someone says, if you're going to do a theme tune, can you make it better than the Lisa and Steve one? How rude!
Better than the Lisa and Steve? Maybe we need another blast of that later to remind people. That was epic.
That actually was epic.
I don't know how I can make it better.
Thanks for my present, by the way. I feel that I was a little bit ungrateful for the Codaline vine. Although they're singing Have a Crabby Christmas, right? Because of my crab outfit on Strictly.
I see that got confused.
It could sound like something else.
Scott Mills, have a crabby Christmas. Scott Mills,
sounds like they don't want to make me have a very nice time at Christmas.
Crabby Christmas.
Mills, but it could be something else. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Yeah. But okay. I'll try and think for theme tune for the new Train Guy. That's on my to-do list.
Bit of homework.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello, James.
Hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm dying to hear what happened.
Good.
So, if you didn't hear this yesterday, James got in touch with us on email. He's been liking this girl on his train, on his daily commute, there and back, for about how long now?
It's about 2.5 months.
And there is a bit of eye contact going on.
Yeah.
And it's fair to say you fancy her quite a lot.
Yes.
And the journey is between where every day?
It's between Cheltenham and Gloucester.
And you see her every day, every morning on the way to work and every day on the way home on the same train.
Pretty much, yes.
So James got in touch with us for help, pushing this forward, so to speak, because he's only got one more week left of his job. Isn't that true, James?
That's correct. I have till Friday, yeah.
So you've only got till Friday to try and, you know, get in touch with her and make this happen, because you're not going to be on that train anymore as of next week, forever.
Yeah, forever.
When we spoke to you yesterday, you told us your plan, because you want to start trying to move this forward, right?
I had quite an elaborate plan.
And what was it?
It was to position myself between the door of the train and where she was sitting, and to then pretend to fall asleep with the view that when the train pulled into the stop, she would then get up to get off. She would notice, oh, that guy always gets off at this stop, but he's asleep. I better wake him up or he's going to miss his stop. And then she'd wake me up and we'd go from there and sort of walk off happily into the sunset together.
And it's a lovely idea.
That's
the plan.
I really want this to happen, you know, because it's Christmas and all. Okay, so on the commute last night, did you do your plan?
I did my plan.
So I'm imagining you on the train and
the door's open.
Yeah, you can see her.
Yeah. Well, I managed to get to the front of the queue to get on. I got on the train, got a prime position. It's all like a dream. She then got on slightly after me and actually walked past me. And there was a little bit of eye contact.
Yes.
And she took a seat, I think, about three rows behind me. I couldn't really tell because obviously I was being, inconspicuous. But I thought, hello, we're in business here. it's all going well.
So then in your seat, you pretend to fall asleep?
Yes. And I got quite into character on this one. So, there wasn't
not
any,
hard.
There wasn't any going on the phone or anything like that. It was...
good.
From moment one, minute one, I was...
closing your eyes.
Sort of putting on a drowsy persona.
All right. So you're asleep. It gets to the stop where you've got to get off. And then I take it the train slows down. It
the
stops.
The train slows down.
The doors open.
Yeah.
You're still pretending to be asleep.
I'm still pretending to be asleep.
And...
Straight past me.
No. Oh no. And I mean, did you miss your stop?
I was quite lucky actually, because the train conductor actually was walking through the carriage, and it was really awkward because about half a dozen people just completely left me. They just no one batted an eyelid.
Well, this is the state of Britain these days, isn't it?
I mean,
why should they care? You're just asleep.
Well, I don't know. They might have thought, oh, that kid, he's asleep. He might have missed his stop. But no.
Do you think she saw you, though? Oh, yeah, she knew you were there.
Yes, I'm convinced.
But, curveball, the train conductor noticed you.
Yeah, the train conductor, he was doing a sort of a sweep through the carriage. And I mistimed it slightly. I think I went over the top because I was still there feigning sleep as he came up to me. I was the only one on the train. And he sort of said, is this your stop? And I was like, yeah, thank you. Sorry about that, sir. And walked off.
So do we think the train conductor's keen?
that's a real curveball. Hard to tell. Hard to tell.
Right. I mean, sometimes they are keen, I find.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And is that something that you would be interested in, James?
I mean, I'd rather the girl.
I know, but you've got to keep your options open. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well,
it's Christmas.
Yeah. Everyone's welcome.
Right, let's focus, James. So,
yeah, right.
So the girl's gone. That's the point here. The girl you fancy is it's not. It hasn't worked. Plan A has not worked.
Plan A's not worked.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's regroup.
We've only got till Friday on this. Right. I'm going to play a track, and then we've got some ideas for you. Okay.
Okay, cool. BBC
Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Now, James has got a bit of a situation where he fancies this girl on the train. She's on the same train as him in the morning and in the evening on the way to and from work. He fancies her. There's been some eye contact. But James only has until Friday to kind of make a connection with this girl because after that, he doesn't get that train anymore. He's leaving his job.
Mm.
So you've got, 4 days.
Yeah, 4 days.
Plan A has failed badly.
Yeah. The pretending to be asleep and hoping that she wakes you up plan, which James had yesterday, didn't work. So do you want us to wade in now and give you some ideas?
I'd love some. I'd love some professional advice on this.
Right, you need to choose one of three here.
Okay.
Should point out here, loads of people were saying, why don't you just go talk to her? You just don't really want to do that, do you?
No.
You feel like you've left it too long.
I've just left it too long. I think it'd be far too awkward.
Okay.
To be honest, I'm a bit out of my comfort zone on this anyway, because I'm more used to sort of dingy nightclubs rather than public transport.
I get you.
Yeah. It's quite a different vibe. Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Three plans.
Yeah. Okay, so choose which one you want from one of these three options, okay, James?
Okay.
Plan A, spill a drink on yourself.
Okay, yeah.
If it goes well, she'll rush over to you and dab you dry. If it goes wrong, she won't, and you'll just be there, wet and slightly scalded from hot coffee. What do you think about that one?
I'll hear the other two.
Oh, okay. Not keen then,
no? Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that initially, first time hearing it?
There's a high chance I'll just look like a fool. It may land in a awkward position on my body.
I'll let you into a secret here, James. My first idea, which the team were like, no, was like, you spill a drink on her.
Oh.
We can't condone that.
No, we can't.
No, there's probably health and safety regulations.
I'm not talking about chucking a cup of coffee in her face. I'm just like a little tiny bit. But they said no. All right, then, let's move on. Plan B.
Peacocking hard.
Okay.
You need to stand out from the crowd, James. A large sombrero will make you the difference on that train.
We've talked about this before. There's an actual book on this called The Game.
There is, yeah. It's like a pickup guide.
Yeah.
It's right. It's
oh,
about...
yeah, I've heard about it, yeah.
Yeah. We talked about it years ago. But
yeah,
one of the tips in there is wearing a sombrero.
Mm.
Specifically a sombrero or...
Yeah, well, just something to make you stand out. Sombrero's a the one that was suggested. In fact, we had the author of that book, I'm sure we did, on the show, and he was recommending a sombrero would be good. But basically, it's called peacocking because you wear bright, colourful things. Makes you stand out.
Okay. I mean, I have got quite a loud Christmas jumper on at the moment, but I fear that at this time of year, I'd probably blend in a bit
Yeah, exactly. At this time of year. I mean, yeah, in July, that would work.
Yeah, in July, that'd be perfect.
Not now. You need to really stand out from the crowd. I'm saying all the primary colours.
The primaries, right, yeah.
And a sombrero.
I like this. I think this is beating the coffee idea.
Yeah, you like it, yeah? But more?
I'm liking it, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Do you have a sombrero that you could, like, get last minute?
I'm sure I could,
okay,
yeah.
Cool. They're surprisingly hard to come by, believe me, I've checked.
Are they?
Or, are you ready for plan C?
I'm ready.
Buy a cheap phone, like a pay-as-you-go. A small price to pay. Then, forget the phone, which she will think is yours, when you get off the train. Then you ring the phone to find it, and the rest is history.
Oh, my God.
I've got to admit here, small kind of asterisk point. This wasn't our idea. This was texted in yesterday by a guy called Sol from London, and it is genius.
What a good idea, right?
Oh, my word. I mean, that's an astonishing idea.
So what you've got to do is just get yourself down a shop, like some of the supermarkets. What is it, like 99p plus a five a credit or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you can get them for really cheap.
Wow.
And you just need to leave the phone really near her and then ring it.
I mean, this is the only difficulty that, again, if a sort of bout of Britishness comes in and everyone just leaves it, I could be ending up texting the conductor again.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Maybe, but it's worth the risk, okay? If she likes you that much, hopefully
like
she'll
that.
Pick up the phone.
Do you like
I
it?
I like that a lot. I like that a lot, yes.
Can you get to a shop today to get a cheap phone?
I think I probably can, yeah.
Oh, this is amazing.
Excellent.
Okay,
yeah,
I can tell you really like this one.
I do, yeah.
Okay, then, so what's your choice?
A, B or C?
I think I'm going to go for C.
Yes.
I think this is wise.
So you go and get a cheap phone,
yeah,
and then you forget the phone when you get off. Where are you going to place the phone, though? Right near her?
I mean, this is the issue, because obviously I won't be sort of sat next to her or anything, so how do I plant the phone?
You don't have to plant it. The point is you're dropping it.
I think I just need to drop it somewhere where she's going to see it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, drop it in her eye line. That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Then get
off the train. She might even run after you with the phone.
God.
Also good. But if she doesn't, then you just call it and hopefully she will answer.
I mean, I can drop it, make a bit of a run for it. I mean, in a subtle way, a fast walk.
Yeah.
So that she can't catch me up.
Yep.
Cool it. Boom.
Yeah? You like it?
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Well, that's our plan for today, James.
That is amazing.
What a good idea. Thank you, Saul, off London, for thinking of that.
Yeah.
I love it when the listeners come up with genius plans like that. Good to speak to you.
Love it. Yeah, you too.
And we'll hear on the show tomorrow what happened with the phone.
Okay. Cool.
Good one, James. Keep it up.
Thank you. All right.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye. The Scott Mills Daily.
That was fun, wasn't it? Fun. And Sleigh Ride on BBC Radio 1.
Do you know what I thought to myself just then when I was listening to that? I'd quite like to hear, what was that song by Wing? Do you remember that you got, was it Santa in a Helicopter?
Santa Claus on a Helicopter,
yes. Great song. We should get a blast of that at some point.
Should we whip that out next week, do you think?
Can we?
Can we write that down? Santa Claus on a Helicopter.
Do you know what? We get requests. There's a few people that want to hear our Christmas single at some point. Still haven't played it.
Oh, yeah. The one we did 2 years ago, Scott Mills and his Pigs in Blankets, perfect Christmas single. It's a good one. I can't believe that's not getting more play, but Sleigh Ride by Fun is.
Yeah, strange.
Weird, isn't it?
There's no justice.
Coming up, Of Mice of Men, I've got Shift Key, Labyrinth with Jealous, that's a good song. Also, I love that Blonde and Melissa Steele track. I Loved You is coming up before 3.30. And Charlie Slough on the way at 3.40 with Fat Tuesday. Looking forward to seeing Slough today. Talking of Christmas songs, tomorrow will be another one of ours, which doesn't get played on the rest of the radio station. Wrap Myself in Paper is on tomorrow. It's another one of our traditions, which Chris won't really seem to let me not do this
year. It's great. I've managed to secure all traditions.
And also we're going to call Dial a Carol tomorrow. This is a service, if you've not heard it, I don't know how you haven't, if you listen to Radio 1, but it's a service where at a university in America, there's a 24-hour service where you can ring and ask them to sing any carol, and they do it. Mm. It can be any Christmas song.
We call them every year. It's Vintage Mills.
Yeah. So we'll do that tomorrow on the show, as well as Wrap Myself in Paper. Why wouldn't you want to listen to that?
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Oh, God, here he is. Charlie Slough. Your face was one of pure disgust during that last track.
It was a little bit challenging for the ears, some might
rock
say.
Face?
Yeah.
Mm. That's not really your bag, is it, mate?
No, I like it. I do like a bit of rock, you know, a bit of Daniel P. Carter on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
Sick, fam, yeah.
I didn't think you were. I thought you were, like, you know, all the R&Bs.
Yeah, I'm a bit of everything, you know.
Aren't you, though?
We know.
All rolled into one.
Oh, gosh, one big, massive bundle
That's
of joy.
It. That's it. Yeah. It's the Radio 1 and 1 Extra Christmas party tonight. Oh, gosh.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
But are you going to slip out, though? Because you always slip out, Millsy. I always look for you, fam, and you're at, cuz. I'm like, where's Millsy? Because you're the only person in this whole building who's ever been able to keep up with a Slothmeister.
That is true, actually.
The only one person.
Are you going in tonight, then?
I'm going in, fam.
I avoid Charlie at the Christmas party. 2 years ago, he caused me difficulties.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Charlie was DJing and also kind of in charge of the bar at one point.
Yeah.
And it was a horrendous situation.
I had my own personal bar.
He had his own one.
I brought a bar with me.
I'm going to hang out with you tonight.
Me tonight, fam. We hooked up.
Where will you? Where will you be?
I'll be at the back.
Yes. He'll be in the disco room.
Turning up on a Tuesday.
Are you DJing tonight, please?
No, they didn't ask me.
Oh.
That's quite awkward.
Yeah.
Should we crack on?
Yeah. Let's do what R&B superstars do like tonight. Drink some Patron, maybe sip on that.
Did you bring some? I know you've got a stash.
I got a stash. Maybe all the champagnes.
Yeah.
That's how you roll, isn't it? Magnums off.
Magnums.
Okay, Magnums. All right, so... Birminghams. So, right, we'll see you tonight then, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, real or no real, let's do this.
Henry VIII's toilet was called the Great House of Easement.
Whoa. Naming your toilet, that's a new one. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Your toilet's an interesting place, Mills, in your house. Don't look so horrified. It's not that bad.
Where is this going?
Just the things you put in there. The, like? You've got a little plate where people can put coins on.
There is a...
Have you really? If you use this, like, a spray of anything, you're encouraged to put some money down in there.
Yeah, I'm serious.
There is a tray for donations.
Wow. That is amazing.
You know, because obviously people use the toilet paper, stuff like that. That all needs reimbursing, doesn't it, Mills?
That's right. You mean it doesn't pay for itself, does it?
Do you have that really expensive toilet paper?
No.
No. Oh.
Like I say,
awkward.
It doesn't pay for itself. So just, you know, spend a penny, leave a penny.
Yeah, that's what you're encouraged to do. And then every couple of weeks, he counts up his coins and goes and buys some new I do that. Apparatus.
I go to the supermarket and tip it in that big thing, comes out of notes.
That many people use your toilet?
It's a very busy thoroughfare.
Okay.
Anyway, so... Henry, I don't even know why that tray's in there, by the way.
Because you put it there.
I didn't. I don't know why it's there. But
he
it's still
he
there.
Stole that from a club. He
it's
stole
still
it
there.
From a club.
Maybe,
got
yes.
home and put it in the bathroom.
I don't
and it's
know.
Never moved since.
I like it.
Or borrowed it, rather.
That's right. Yeah. Henry VIII's toilet was called the Great House of Easement. Is that real or no real?
I can see this being real because I've got a name for my toilet, which
God.
I can't reveal
no.
on the radio.
No, please don't.
I couldn't possibly do that.
So what was that, real or no real?
I'm going to say real, fam.
I think Charlie looks a bit like Henry VIII.
Rude.
I'm gonna go no
well,
real.
Is that, that's just because of the size thing, right?
Wow. No real.
Rude.
Mm.
That one ahead. Is real.
Done, no.
Oh. No, okay.
In so school, actually, they tried to make me play Henry VIII every year.
Why?
I couldn't act. Why? Every year, I don't know.
Why?
I don't know.
Do you mean in the Nativity? Henry VIII wasn't...
No, we used to do it at school. You must have done Henry VIII at school.
Yeah, but not every year. Why would you always be Henry...
I went to an expensive school.
Sure. So Henry VIII decided his toilet had to have a name fit for a king, so upgraded his loo to the Great House of Easement. Oh, what a lad.
Gee.
And next.
On his recent US tour, Sam Smith developed a craving for Eccles cakes and insisted on getting them flown out from the UK to his hotel.
Eccles cakes, remind me, Charlie, what are they?
They've got raisins in them and... Yeah.
They're off the north of England. Are delicious.
I didn't want to be rude, but he has piled the pounds on old Sammy, isn't he?
Oh, my God.
He's piled them on, isn't he?
And that's from Charlie Sloth.
No, I'm just kidding. Like, I'm not mad at that. I'm happy that he's joined the Fat Club, you know what I'm saying? But
okay, good.
He's definitely piled them on, isn't he? I see him at that BBC thing, the chin was swinging. Swinging, fam.
Charlie.
Yeah?
Stop.
I love him. I love him. Great, but the chin was definitely swinging.
Oh, God. Okay, so Sam Smith.
Eccles cakes.
On the recent US tour.
Obviously, it's got to be true. It's either that or Donna's. It's one or the other. Let's keep it real.
So
don't be fattest.
I'm not.
You're fattest.
King of the fat folk. You guys are the most fattest.
So you name your toilet?
No.
Right. Come on.
Good.
Lugger's leap.
So, Eccles cakes flown out from the UK to America on the recent US tour. Sam Smith just has some cravings. Not John Cravings. Cravings.
Yeah, I've heard that he gets certain water shipped out to him every now and then when he plays somewhere, but I don't know if, I can't remember if that was real or no real, but I'm going to go real on the Eccles cakes.
Okay.
I'm going to go real. It's obvious.
That one.
Oh, hang on.
That
yes?
one is no real.
Okay, nah, thanks. What is it then? What's he getting shipped out to him? Dunkin' Donuts. I love Sam. Big up, Sam. Welcome to the Fat Club.
And next, Mozart wrote one of his most famous operas on the morning of the premiere whilst nursing a hangover.
Yeah, so, I mean, sometimes you need a bit of that pressure, don't you? You know, you've got a premiere that night.
Well, you feel...
And I'm going to have to, just going to have to do it right now and write it now.
You feel sometimes you're more creative after a bit of a night out, perhaps?
Yeah, I sometimes do.
Yes.
I don't get that. I'm pretty useless after a night out.
But was Mozart...
I always imagine... The problem is now, when I imagine Charlie Sloth after a night out, all I can think is his Instagram picture of him in his bed with nothing but a chain
nothing
on.
Making an absolute beast of himself.
Done, though. Big man team. That might happen tonight at a Christmas party.
Oh, God.
Just me and my chain.
Are you excited for the Christmas party?
You know, I do love a party. I do love to party you with, you know, friends and colleagues.
I've got that thing that we were talking about on the show the other day. I've got FOGO. Fear of going out.
Really?
Yeah, I have. I get the fear.
Millsy, I booked a table at a few of the best clubs in London. So we've got three clubs.
You've got
where
a table
the table's smashed. Damn. You've got to come tonight.
Oh.
We're going in.
Are we having vodka with sparklers in?
Oh, you know
yeah! That's how we roll.
Yeah, hey, one of the clubs,
Can we turn up in a Hummer?
Hey, listen, we could do that. I can arrange that.
Is it?
One of the clubs that I've got booked is the best club in Europe. Like, no, it really is. It's the best club in Europe.
Don't.
Is it, though?
We're not going to talk about it. I'm not going to say the name. Don't worry. Trained, fam, on BBC staff. Trained.
Okay, so Mozart wrote one of his most famous operas on the morning of the premiere while nursing a bit of a hangover. Real or no real?
Real.
I'm going to say no real.
That one is real.
Wow.
He got in a panic on the day of the premiere of Don Giovanni when he realised it still wasn't finished. Got it done despite having a massive night the night before.
Oosh.
And finally, on today's Real or No Real,
the Queen's staff choose their own Christmas presents to the value of £20.25 each.
That's kind of like how my gran does it, though. She doesn't actually buy everyone individual presents. She just gives some money, and then my mum will go out and buy presents for us. You know, and I think I can get why the Queen would do something similar. Just give out some money.
Have this 20, buy something nice.
Yes. What she doesn't realise is she's also funding people getting Hollyoaks calendars, things like that.
Yeah, she is.
Like what my gran does.
Yeah, she doesn't know that still.
No.
That every year he'd get a calendar with hot babes in.
Yeah.
His gran didn't know.
But then, if the Queen is just giving you some money, right, and you go and buy it, then you could have a status which says, look what the Queen got me for Christmas this year.
Mm. And you could buy her own head on.
Yes. Yeah, well, I guess so, yeah. Mm.
So do they choose their own Christmas presents? It's basically the Queen's version of getting a voucher, isn't it? It's a bit lazy.
Mm. It is quite.
But how would she know what to buy for all the staff? She wouldn't. So real or no real?
I'm going to say no real, because 25 quid, that's a little bit tight, fam, isn't it?
Lots of staff.
Like, you're the queen, cuz. Like, hook your team up. 50 quid at least. I'm going to say no real. I think she's a bit more generous than that.
Is it?
Yeah. I'm going to go real on this one, Mills.
That one is real.
No way!
So the queen staff... Nothing. They can choose which present they receive from Liz from an extensive catalogue. I'd love to see that catalogue. As long as they didn't spend more than £20.25. Thanks to the QI elves for that fact. And at the end of that round of real or no real...
I got 20, Charlie got 10.
Oh, bad.
Dangerous.
Oh, that's not going to affect proceedings tonight.
No, well, how he worked it out at the start of the show is whoever got the most points, we have to convert that into shots. So you're doing 20 shots tonight and I'm doing 10.
Go. Tonight's going to be interesting.
Shots of water, I'm
yeah,
bad.
That's right.
And lemonade.
Okay. Right, well, I look forward to seeing you later with that bottle with the sparklers.
Are you coming to the club, though?
Best one in Europe?
Yeah, can I get that on air?
Like, absolutely, so, yeah.
Promise?
Right, okay, if you promise them I'll be there, is that what it is?
Yeah, no.
So you only reason he's got a table.
You got some cheaper deal going on.
Yeah, I'll bring my friends.
Yeah.
No, I haven't, actually.
Go later. No. Yates is in Cheltenham.
I'm a regular, innit? So,
right, okay.
Slight work.
Come on, I look forward to that. See you later on, then. Another Love on the Train update tomorrow with James from 1 o'clock on BBC Radio 1. Or get the podcast. Also tomorrow, because it's Christmas in a week and a day, we'll play Wrap Myself in Paper and we'll call Dial a Carol. Stop.